Book of Proverbs, chapter 3. I don't know how you measure success. You probably have, we probably have a number of different definitions of success. And along with that, we probably have a different avenue to travel to find success. Really, we all look at success differently. But I want to suggest to you this morning for your consideration, and I want you to follow along to see and determine for yourself even that the word trust plays a huge part in our spiritual success, spiritual successful living. How much do we trust Him? And really, it depends how much we can trust Him as to how much He can trust us. Before we get into it this morning, let's bow our heads for prayer and ask for His divine touch this morning. Father, we're thankful. We're thankful at this moment for that promise that You will provide the needed strength even in our weakness. We look to You this morning. We need Your anointing. We need Your touch. We need Your presence. Can't do it on our own. Saturate this atmosphere right now with Your presence and Your anointing to give us that which we need as we look into Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Am I able to trust Him? Can I trust Him? Our whole relationship with God is based upon the foundation of our obedience and our trust in God. Now, our trust in God is somewhere out here for us to reach for and to grapple with, but somewhere in here close to us is this thing of obedience. And if we find it difficult to be obedient to Him, we will not be able to trust Him. Or that is a fact that we are not trusting Him. But if we are able to really trust Him, then it makes it easy for us to be obedient to Him. Childlike trust. When your kids are little, do they trust you? Most of the time they do. It's really funny right now. We're going through this thing with Carson to where I can set him up or somebody can put him up on the counter or put him up on a higher place and then test him out and tell him not to fall. Don't stumble. Don't trip. You're going to fall. You're going to get hurt. And he just grins and giggles a little bit and then he'll just fall forward. And he started doing it the other day where I put him up there with his back to me and he would just fall backwards expecting Pappy to get a hold of him. Trusting. We were down in Gatlinburg recently, and it's always a reminder in our family that that needle, that whatever you call it, that goes up right there close to the convention center, goes up there just way too high. And we're reminded so many times of when Janae was a little one, just a little baby, and I was up there with her and had her feet dangling over the rail. She didn't have a clue that that was dangerous. You would even question the saneness of my mind to even think about that. Janae, you're not a, just stay out of it. You were too young to even know. I look at that now and I think that it's absurd to even think about taking a kid right over, a little bitty baby right over that rail. She trusted me. Even though something could have happened humanly, something could have taken place humanly, and, you know, I'm not invincible. But she trusted me. Childlike trust. I think it's similar to that, that we just have that abandonment and trust in God. Trust is the key to successful spiritual living, spiritual success. Trust is the most important factor in knowing God and knowing what His will is in my life. If I don't trust Him, I'm not going to understand what His will is for me. If we struggle to know what God's will is, there could be a reality within that we're not trusting Him because, oh God, you wouldn't ask me to do that if you really knew what was going on. I can't trust you. I can't do that. When we think about trusting Him, we have to understand that our side of things could be likened to that of a steward, that He has given us this life so that we would be a good steward of this life, that we would perform in this life according to His will or His purpose or pleasing to Him. Proverbs chapter 3. The first 10 verses are specifically what I want to look at, and I don't have time to look at each one of them this morning, but we find in the very first verse of that chapter that he's speaking about complete obedience. You go down to verse number 3, he's talking about binding around the neck and writing them upon the table of the heart. I'm not sure which translation it is that says it this way, but always bind and always write. Always bind it on our heart. Always write it on the tables of our heart. That's the reason why I'm not sure what translation it is, because it just could be John Maxwell's translation of it. Because that's what he said. Always bind. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them always upon the tables of thy heart. You go on down to verse 5. You see, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He shall direct your paths. Verse number 7. Don't ever think you are wise enough. Do you have your Bible open? Are you looking at that verse? Is that what he said there? Don't ever think that you are wise enough. Now the King James says, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. These are all things that God is speaking to us, and we must come to the conclusion of whether or not we will trust Him in these matters, in these circumstances. Now we have to understand that trust is all inclusive. There's no exceptions. It's all. We trust Him with all our heart. Trust Him with all thine heart. Trust is a total affair of the heart. You take a look at verses 2, 4, 8, and 10, and it seems as though that we find here a promise that is given, but these promises are conditional. Oh, we like those, don't we? You know, that so shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. And I'd like to talk with the wise man to see exactly what he means here. It sounds good. Sounds really good. But he's given us promises that are contingent upon whether or not we trust him. And our trust is portrayed in our obedience. Now, can we trust God? Can we trust God? Well, let me say to you this morning that God is trustworthy. He is trustworthy. He is worthy of our complete confidence. He is worthy of our complete dependence. He is worthy of us simply falling back into his arms, knowing that he will not fail. Scripture bears it out over and over again that he never failed the people of the Scriptures. He never failed anybody that is recorded that we find in these passages, in these stories, in these challenges and problem times. And you can look at the life of David, perhaps, as the icon of this. And he always found it within his heart that he could trust God. Now, he didn't have a life of ease every day of his life. But he always found that he could trust him. What about Moses? What about Joshua? What about Abraham? Whew. But we could really get into it pretty deep with these guys, these men of old. We can find it in the New Testament as well with his disciples, his apostles, his followers. We can find it in the life of the Apostle Paul. Over and over again. We can realize that he is trustworthy. He's also entrusted us with possessions or with this life, these things that he has placed into our care, opportunities and talents and time that we now have. And what do we do with them? For anybody here that may be grimacing for me to use the word talents, because you feel like you don't have any. You don't have any talents because you are comparing yourself with somebody else that you think is better than you and could be better than you. Just face it. They could be, but that doesn't mean that you don't have a talent in that area. Just because you can't do it as well as someone else. Let's just take the special song this morning. If I could sing like that with a problematic voice, I'd sing all the time. Even if I did sound like a girl, I'd be happy to sing. Oh, sure, I love singing bass, but if I could sing like that, if it's... I can't compare myself with other people. God has given me, God has given you talent to do something for his kingdom. It may not stand out as a bold thing somewhere along the line in your life, but there's things that God has given every single one of his followers as a talent, as an opportunity, as a time that we have been given by God, from God, to use as a steward and trust him for the outcome. Trusting him. You see, we are a trustee of everything that God has given us. Now let's ask ourselves a very personal question. Just look inside of our own heart this morning and ask ourselves this question: do I trust God? You know, ask ourselves the question: do I trust God? God, where do I place my faith? Where do I place my confidence? It's easy for us, it's really easy for us to say that we trust him. Let's add a new dimension to that question of do I trust God by asking ourselves this question: Is he truly my source? Is he my source in some things, in big things, in just little things? Do I trust him as my, truly trust him as my source? We live in a self-reliant society, and that's shifting now because we are becoming more and more reliant as a society on government. But for many, many years, our culture was a self-reliant culture. You know, if you didn't have it, you could work to achieve it. You could do something to get it. You could find some way to do what you wanted to do. There was opportunity was around for whatever. No, I'm not a believer in the idea that you can do anything that you set your mind to do. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much I would practice. It doesn't matter how much time I would put into it. I would never be able to play ball like Michael Jordan would play ball. Or I would never be able to play the trumpet like Phil Collinsworth plays the trumpet. I would never be able to play the piano like my wife. And she doesn't say she's a pianist. She only plays the piano. We say, I would give anything. I would give anything to be able to do that. I would give anything to be able to do that except for the time it took to practice. Self-reliant. We want it to be, and now we're shifting over to where we want it to be given to us instead of putting in the time to get it done. And we're self-reliant even today in our spiritual lives. We think that we can get by on our own strength, in our own time, in our own way, in our own decisions for faith. When in reality, God is saying that we trust him with all our heart. Totally trusting him provides a total obedience to him. Did you hear that? Totally trusting God provides a total obedience to him. Trust God. Now, again, here's another dimension to this. Asking ourselves, do I trust God? Asking ourselves, is he truly my source? Now let's see if we really do trust God by asking this question, can he trust me? Does he trust me? Have I proven to be trustworthy? Have I proven myself to be a trustworthy person? Have I been faithful? So what about this trust? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It comes back to how much we trust him and believe him to be trustworthy. Because if we don't believe him to be trustworthy, we're not going to be obedient. If we don't find him to be trustworthy, we will not be trustworthy to him. It's a total package of trusting him. One thing we do know about God, again, here is that God's care is constant. His care is constant. Hebrews chapter 13, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For as he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That provides, the Hebrew writer said, that provides us a confidence that we can say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Do you have fears? Do you have fears? What are you afraid of? And I'm not talking about fears of the dark or fears of the goblin that's hiding in the closet or tucked in the dust bunnies under the bed or anything like that. I'm talking about fears in life that cause us anxieties and troubles, and maybe it comes from people. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What's that song that we sing occasionally, not very often perhaps? Jesus never fails, never, never fails. I'm so glad Jesus never fails. His care is constant. That's why when you look over into the book of Peter, the epistles of Peter, you will find him saying that we can cast all of our anxieties on him, all of our care, all of our worry, all of our trouble, yes, even all of our fears. Peter tells that to us and gives that to us. Why does he, or how can he? He can because he has found it to be so for himself. God is also generous with his gifts. This is probably where it got started into my thinking here. You know, I know the word mercy is found in that proverb section that I was looking at, but it's found here in Psalm 136 repeatedly, and it got to working in me, and I took a tangent for a while. But Psalm 136, what is the last words of nearly every verse, if not every verse in that division? Do you know it? Verse number 1 starts off with, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Verse number 2, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever." Verse number 3, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever." What are we talking about here? What is the psalmist talking about here? He is talking about the generosity of the gifts of God that he has provided to each of us. Generosity of gifts. Now, granted, they may be small in size compared to somebody who has developed that gift, but God wants us to develop that gift as well. He wants us to develop the gifts that he has entrusted to us. Sad as it is, my grandkids are not always going to be my little precious grandkids. They'll always be my precious grandkids, but they will not always be little. And as they grow, they develop, don't they? It won't be long before Natalie's running around without training wheels on the bicycle. It won't be long before Carson is actually climbing grapevines into the trees. He'll be doing all sorts of crazies. Chip off the old block. Kids develop. If they're not developing, we think that there's something wrong with them, and probably rightfully so. The same is involved with our spiritual lives. God has developed us, or he has given us something to develop within. And as we trust in him, we can develop those things for his purpose. Can we trust him in adversity? Can we trust God in adversity? Can you trust God in adversity? Or do we find it that we can only trust him when things are going our way? You see, we are to trust him even when things are not going our way. We are to depend upon him. David, I believe it was, said in Psalm 56, In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. But then he said in Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. David had a lot of potential fears. God didn't keep him from all of those possibilities that caused those fears. He only provided, or he consistently provided, his undergirding hand to cause him to give God his fears, because he trusted in him. He trusted in him. Now, someone might say, well, you don't understand my situation. You don't understand my finances. You don't understand my troubles. Maybe somebody would even say, you don't understand my marriage. Somebody might say that if I surrender this to God, does he really understand how deep my problems are? Now, that's kind of absurd as we sit here in this environment this morning to think that somebody could possibly be saying that, but we do say that by our actions, if not by our words. If I surrender this to God, does he really understand how deep my problems are? David was saying in these passages here that I don't understand, but I'm willing to give you my fears. Trusting God in our adversities, trusting God when things are going good, genuinely thankful to God for all of the blessings that he's given to us is an indicator of our trust in him. Because if we're not trusting him and thanking him, truly, genuinely grateful for the blessings of God, then chances are we're not trusting him as our source. We're gaining these things of our own abilities and our own strengths. Trusting God as our source. One thing that Maxwell said that when he's talking about this particular subject that really stands out is that the human tendency is to trust in God's instruments of provision rather than in God himself. Did you get that one? Maxwell said it good. Let me say it again. The human tendency is to trust in God's instruments of provision rather than in God himself. Trusting in the job, trusting in the college degree, trusting in the savings account, trusting in your own health, trusting in your own smarts, trusting in what you can do. We're finding more and more that our health is limited, isn't it? I am. I've found that to be so. Some of you know the name Solomon Schaefer. His mom passed away in her sleep this week. She's not that many years ahead of me, I don't think. Just a handful of years older than I am. And she died in her sleep. You know, there's so many things. There's so many things that are around us, and it should cause us to realize that it's not of our own abilities. It's not what we have to hold to, but it's trusting in God as our source. He has provided these things to us. Proverbs 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall is his imagination. Look at the contrast that's there. What is your unscalable wall? What is your fortified city? Where is your trust? Where do you place your trust? The proverb writer is saying that we should trust God. We can trust God. I know the clock is moving along very quickly, but I want to close with those words of S.M. Lockridge that he gave out preaching back in 1976. I've shared them with you before, and they've been shared across the country over these last 30-some years since S.M. Lockridge gave it to his church there in Detroit. But listen to what he said about how you and I can trust him. He's the one who made us. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. No means of measure can define His limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of His shoreless supply. I'm telling you today, you can trust Him. No barrier can hinder Him from pouring out His blessing. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast, and He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful, and He's impartially merciful. He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son, the sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. I'm telling you, church, you can trust Him. He does not have to call for help, and you can't confuse Him. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He stands alone in the solitude of Himself. He's august. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you can call Him. He can satisfy all your needs. He can do it simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak, and He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and He sees. He guards and He guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the leper. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. I'm trying to tell you, church, that you can trust Him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway to glory. You can trust Him. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of heroes. He's the leader of legislatures. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of the governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. He's the lord of lords. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteousness. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. I wish I could describe Him to you. He's indescribable because He's incomprehensible. He's irresistible because He's invincible. You can't get Him off your hands. You can't get Him off your mind. You can't live without Him, and you can't live outlive Him, and you can't live without Him. Pilate couldn't stand it when he found out he couldn't stop Him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in Him, and the witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill Him. Death couldn't handle Him. Thank God the grave couldn't hold Him. There was nobody before Him. There'll be nobody after Him. He has no predecessor. He'll have no successor. You can't impeach Him, and He's not going to resign. You can trust Him. What is this proverb writer saying? He's saying that we should trust in the Lord with all our heart. Not of our own devices, not of our own wisdom, not of our own intellect, but trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Trust. It's the key to successful spiritual living. Can you trust Him this morning? Do you trust Him this morning? Can He trust me? Let's stand together. He's trustworthy. No matter our age or no matter our problems, we can trust Him. Trust in the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Gibson, would you dismiss us with prayer?